Welcome to the conference call, a service of www.freeconference.com. When you have entered your conference, please announce yourself. While in the conference, you may press 4 for a menu of features and options. Please enter your pre-assigned access code, followed by the pound sign now. Zero. Callers are already in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Hello?
Hi, it's Bruce Tonkin just joining.
Hi, Bruce, it's Glenn.
Oh, hi, Glenn.
I think we're the only two so far.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see if we get all the time zones right.
Yes, I wondered, with the council call, the time zones were okay, weren't they?
Yes, I think so, yes. Oh, hi, Jeff. Bruce Tonkin here.
Hey, Bruce, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good. Bruce Beckwith sent me the call-in information. For some reason, I didn't get it, and David Saffron emailed me, and I just forwarded Bruce's email to him.
Oh, great. Yeah. You're spamming on my name. Hi, this is Bruce Beckwith.
Yes, hi, Bruce Beckwith.
Thanks.
Kind of nice to be the only Bruce in the Registrar constituency now, isn't it?
Yes, that's nice. Well, we now have network solutions now, so that makes it much easier to understand.
That's right.
You can actually simply identify the two parts of the business a much easier.
You had the successful one, the one that's not so successful? No, I didn't say that.
Hi, this is Donna with Bulk Register.
Hi, Donna. It's Bruce Tonkin here.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey folks, Ross here.
Hi Ross, Bruce Tonkin here amongst others.
Hey Mr. Tonkin.
waiting for a few more people to join before we get started. Someone just joined?
Alana Brightman.
Andrew Sullivan from Liberty IMS joining.
Sorry, who was the last person that joined?
Andrew Sullivan, I'm representing Ophelia.
Thank you.
I notice some people seem to come through clearer than others on this service, so I can hear half the people very well, but some people sound very faint to me.
I think it's a geographic thing, Bruce. The further we are away from you, the fainter we get. One of the curses of being in Australia, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, I found in the conference call we had, last time I had a conference call, I could hear Chuck perfectly well, and I could hardly hear Alana, and I'm assuming that geographically, relative to me, they're roughly similar locations, one in New York and one in Washington.
It's that bad New York air. Hey there. Just kidding, Alana. It's true, though. Bad New York air. It has nothing to do with baseball teams or football at all.
So who do we have the call so far?
We have a couple of representatives from the registries. We have Jeff Newman from New Level, and we have Bruce Beckwith from Public Internet Registry, and we have some registrars, Donna McGee from Bog Register, Alana from Register.com, Ross Rader from 2K, it's Bruce Tonkin from Melbourne IT.
And everybody had a good...
As far as my memory goes.
Everybody had a good holiday?
Can you define good?
Quiet, uneventful, happy... Maybe even in the odd good present or something? Away from ICANN?
Sure, yeah.
Hi, Dave Saffron here.
Hello, David. It's Bruce Tonkin here. There's quite a few others on the call as well.
I'm glad you didn't ask me to mine holiday, Jeff.
Then I think we've got enough to begin with. My name is Bruce Tonkin, and I am currently the chair of the GNSO Council, and I undertook to at least get an implementation committee started on the topic of transfer. I have no particular inclination to be chair of this committee, so if anyone else wants to take on that role, please let me know, as I've got lots of other things to do. But at least to set the scene for what I think we need to be achieving here is that we have before us in the Transfers Task Force report, the first few pages list a number of recommendations. I think there's somewhere between 20 and 30 recommendations there. Those recommendations were accepted by the Names Council meeting in December, but there was concern that more work needed to be done in analysing the full implications for registries and registrars in actually implementing those recommendations. And the purpose of this committee is to basically go through each recommendation and be able to tick off and say, yes, that's no problem, that's easy to implement, or no, this has got some implementation issues, and those implementation issues might be technical or legal. So So there may be legal issues that mean that a particular recommendation is going to be hard to implement in practice. And the other issue is, so what I would see is the report, the aim is to produce an implementation report on these recommendations by the end of January, so the end of this month. That report will then be appended to the Transfers Task Force report, and that entire report, which is called the Board Report, will go to vote of the GNSO Council in February. And if the GNSO Council approves that combined report, then that report will go to the ICANN Board, and the ICANN Board will then consider it at its meeting in Rio de Janeiro, which is in, I believe, the last week of March. And if the Board then accepts that report or accepts the recommendations in that report, then those recommendations will then become consensus policy and will become binding on at least the registrars and the registries. So that's the process. And I guess I'll open it to comments.
Well, the first question I had, Bruce, was the do we have a specific agenda for this call?
No, the agenda for this call at the moment is we're forming it on the fly. But as a proposed agenda, what I would propose, the purpose of this call is really identify what our process is going to be for the duration of this month. What my suggested process is that...
Grant.
Hi, Grant. Bruce Tonkin here. We're just getting going on the call. I've just roughly outlined the process, being that this committee has been asked to look at the implementation details of each of the Transfers Task Force recommendations and needs to complete a report by the end of January.
Bruce?
And now the question is...
Bruce, go ahead. Dave Safran here. One question for you. Am I actually on this new task force? I'm on the Transfers Task Force, and I've been getting all these emails, but I don't recall specifically getting one saying that I was on this implementation task force, though I was told about this telephone conference.
Okay, you should have been added to the mailing list. Do you know whether that's been done, Glenn, or David Safran?
I'm not sure, but I can look it up for you, Glenn.
Okay,
I think he has to. He has to be on there because, David, you responded that I sent to the implementation committee. So you must be on the mailing.
Right, but all I was saying is that I didn't know if I was getting the mailing because I was on the transfer task force or because I'm on the implementation committee and the transfer task
okay.
force.
You're effectively on both, David. You're the representative from the... There are two representatives from the transfer task force on the implementation committee. They are Grant Forsyth and yourself, David Safran. So the primary intent of the committee is to look at the implementation issues from a registrar perspective, but it's recognised that because a lot of the work has been done in the Transfers Task Force, that we need to make sure that there is good liaison between the task force, so that if there's some nuance on a recommendation that's not clear to us as an implementation committee, you would be able to explain what the intent was based on the discussions that have been had in the Transfers Task Force. So, David, you're a liaison on the implementation committee, or one of the liaisons on the implementation committee, representing the desires or the goals of the Transfers Task Force.
Okay, fine. I hadn't really gotten any clear instructions as to what my role was.
Okay, I'll confirm that in email. I had assumed that that had been explained because I did ask Marilyn Cade for representatives and she nominated yourself and Grant. So I had assumed, and that was my mistake, that you'd been briefed on that.
It's okay.
Any other questions about people's individual roles? Okay, so in terms of the process going forward from here, the way I see the implementation issues is to roughly divide into implementation in an environment which is based on the EPP Registry Registrar Protocol, which is in use by the .biz, .info, .name, registries. It's also in use in some country code registries such as .us and .au. And that protocol was designed in some degree to deal with some of the issues in transfers. So I think we need to look at the implementation issues from the perspective of those registries. And I believe the new .org registry will also eventually be using EPP as well. Is that correct, Bruce Beckwith? No answer. Then the other major registry where most of the transfer problems are currently arising is the registry for .net and .com, which is operated by VeriSign, and that uses a protocol called RRP. And I've been informed by Chuck Gomes from VeriSign Registry Division that it's likely that EPP protocol will not be in use in the .com.net registry until the end of the year, and even then it's probably going to be phased in, so at some period of time the old RRP will certainly still be operating. So what I suggest we do from a registrar perspective at least is what I'd like each registrar on the implementation committee to do is to send to this mailing list comments on each of the recommendations from the point of view of any issues that they can see as a registrar in implementing a particular recommendation. And again, these can be technical, business process or legal. I think it's important to get all the issues down. And if the registries from the .com net registry and the .biz and .org and .info registries can also look at each of these recommendations and indicate from their perspective whether there are any implementation problems or whether the recommendation needs to be tightened up or improved from the perspective of their operations, whether they be technical or legal or business process implementation issues. That's the proposed process that I would suggest, and so we need to, what I'd like to do is hold another call in 1 week's time, so in other words, same time next week, where we then go through those particular issues that have been raised by the members of this committee. Does that seem sensible? Have I got any people for or against that as a process?
Yeah, I don't know if the tone of my message is indicated as much, Bruce. It certainly implied, so I'll be explicit about it now. I'd like to see a little bit more formality around the process, given that this is the first time that we've done this.
Can you just talk a little slower and a little louder, please, Rob?
Yeah, how's that?
That's much better.
It's my headset. My microphone tends to run away. I don't know if this came through clearly in the messages I've sent to the list thus far. It was certainly implied, so I'll be very explicit about it now. It was certainly my hope that we could be a lot more rigid, per se, around the process that we follow, given that this is the first time that we're doing it. So I think that there's a lot that we can do to gain, in, not only in matters of speed and efficiency in, as far as our work output goes, but also in setting a standard for any future task force or committees that have to follow the same path. So simply to move forward on a loose basis of as described without any concrete definitions or agreed upon milestones, those sorts of things, I think we'd be doing ourselves and the community a disservice.
Hey Bruce, this is Chuck Gomes. I joined about 5 minutes ago.
Thanks, Chuck. I think we've just been sort of talking about some of the sort of process issues, what this committee needs to achieve. The other thing I'd like to see the committee achieve is to actually flesh out some of the areas in the task force report, such as there's discussions in the task force about standardized text, it would be good to actually consider what some of that standardized text is and get some agreement amongst the registrars in the committee that that text would be a good starting point for standardized text. And no doubt that would, in due course, be open to full public comment. But I think a starting point in this committee would progress the issue more quickly than just leaving it up to ICANN staff to try and draft something. The area that seems to be the most controversial area, at least from my knowledge of the registrar, is the area of if a person does not respond to a request to acknowledge a transfer, and typically in the registrar community now, many of the major registrars are sending a message after they receive notice that a transfer has been requested. The registrar is tending to send a message to the registrant, and if the registrant does not reply, the transfer is denied by that losing registrar. Now, the Transfers Task Force has recommended that that losing registrar not be able to deny a transfer on that basis. But we have heard numerous times from some of the large registrars that from their point of view, legally, they're concerned that if the registrar gives consent to a transfer and it's not in the wishes of the registrant, that they may well have some ability. And I think we need to make sure that the implementation does give a degree of security for the registrant and registrars involved that appropriate permission has been received. Did anyone else want to comment on, just from their reading so far, that the areas of major concern that they have?
Bruce, this is Nicola Nahum.
Hi, Nicola.
I think, unfortunately, I have a lot of echo, but I'm on cell phone. I think that one of the issues which will, even though it's already been dealt with in the recommendations, but will come up again in with several of the registrars is delegated administration. Basically, again, talking about channels, etc. It constantly is an issue of discussion on the registrars list.
Okay, this is the issue where registrars have resellers, is that correct?
Correct.
Right. The other big issue that has come up about this time amongst the registrars is language issues.
Yes.
Okay, any other issues people want to raise? So, Ross, from your process perspective, are you okay with that as a process, or did you suggest some improvements to that process?
Well, just some more formality around it, Bruce, I think is what I'm looking for in terms of what the scope of this group is. We have a clear understanding of what our mandate is,
okay.
But we don't really have a clear sense of what the true goal is, what the steps are to go from point A to point B in achieving that goal. When's our next deadline is a great starting point.
Okay, well, next deadline, I'm happy to have a go at drafting that as a suggestion to the list. I think the issue is that there's not an established process for this. This is the first such implementation committee that's been formed. So I guess we're really learning as we go. But what we do have is an objective by the end of this month, the complete implementation report. We have an objective by the next teleconference call, which I'm suggesting is a week from today, to actually get in all our comments on particular recommendations and any issues we have with those particular recommendations, that they can be discussed on that next call. And then by the following week, I would be at least have a draft implementation. say that's by the third week of January, and then we try and finalise that in the week after that. So it's a very tight timeline. And really, if we don't get the information from people, then it just won't be the report.
Bruce, it's Grant Forsyth here. My question is to address some of Ross's concern, which I share, is what is the output that we expect this task force to generate? Is it, for instance, a procedural manual? Is it legal drafting? Is it some of the both? Is it some further administrative detail guidelines that flesh out the transfer task force's report? Just what is it that this group thinks is its output?
Those are good questions. What I believe the output is twofold. One, for any of the recommendations that are from the Transfers Task Force, are there any issues that make any particular implementation difficult to implement? So in other words, it's essentially raising the implementation issues. But what I would also expect is where a major implementation has been raised, that a suggestion be made for how to deal with that particular implementation issue. So, for example, if you did in the report that there is a request for standardised messages, an issue that you could raise as an implementation issue would be to say, how do we handle multiple languages in that standardised message? And here is a suggestion for how to deal with those multiple languages. I do not see the committee doing legal drafting, nor do I see the committee trying to create a detailed procedure because if for registrars we will implement some of the things in different ways. But what we're trying to do is identify the particular recommendations that are the most controversial or most implementation issues with them, identify why those why there are implementation difficulties and suggest some solutions to those implementation difficulties. That's my, Bruce Tonkin perspective, but I'm happy to hear others on what they think that they would like to see from them.
Can I ask that question then on your behalf, Bruce, of the presumably the registrars who are on this group, what is it that they expect to get out of or deliver via this committee?
If I could jump to go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm happy to go and call out the names of registrars individually, but you go ahead, Ross.
I was just going to say, I think from my perspective, it's relatively straightforward in that the output that I'm looking forward to is simply a statement of feasibility. Knowing that there's a variety of business models, a variety of geographical and cultural and legal considerations out there, I want to definitely know for sure whether or not what the task force has come up with is indeed doable. And I think beyond that, we're looking at a kettle of fish that will take far longer than 3 weeks to produce, but at least feasibility is a reasonable place to start.
I think that's correct, yeah. And also identifying what some of the issues are. I mean, there could be points of clarification that the implementation committee comes up with, in the sense that they look at a particular implementation and say, I'm not quite sure what you're actually asking here. And that's where the members of the Transfers Task Force can assist, because they can help answer some of the questions from the registrars and registries on the call. And that may well lead to some clarification wording in the final report that would assist in the implementation. Alana, did you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm just saying this way, thank you.
Donna, from Bulk Register?
No, I'm sorry, Bruce. I only heard the beginning of Ross's, and I don't... I have to step out for a moment. At this time, though, I have nothing else to add to that.
Okay. Nikolai?
No, I think that your points covered it. I think that the what we're finally getting with, first with the recommendations and now with the implementation task forces, is finally having somebody looking at it in a structured manner. I think that's just the first and important step in this process.
Okay. We've got, from the registry perspective, Jeff, what are you speaking for the committee?
I think it's a lot of what Ross was saying about feasibility, and I want to make sure that what the transfer task force has come up with is something that the registrars are both willing and able to carry out those functions. I think we also may need to put a little bit more implementation into things like dispute resolution that's recommended as well.
Right, and so what's your... Is that because the registries are involved in dispute resolution, so you're looking for clarification on what you're required to do, or...
Yeah, both clarification is what we're required to do, but also some certainty, because ultimately, as Chuck pointed out on the list, what we develop, if it's accepted by the board, will go into the registrar contracts, and I think one of the things that we need certainty about is exactly how each provision should be interpreted and implemented, so that in the case of disputes, we have something to we have some guidance to fall back on, and really certainty, I think, is key for that.
So from that point of view, what would be useful for us is as a registry to actually pose the questions that you have what sort of certainty or what information or what the implementation issues are for you to implement dispute resolution so that they can be tightened up and made, so that they can be feasible, to use Ross's words.
Right.
So I think we would certainly benefit from the input from yourself or your legal department in the registry to really clarify just what you're expected to do in regard to dispute resolution. And I guess one of the big issues, and I know Chuck's raised this a number of times, that when you're trying to resolve a dispute, you really need something that's an objective measure for what's right and what's wrong. And once you end up in a grey area, then it's very difficult to resolve a dispute.
Right. That's right.
Bruce Beckwith from PIR, did you have any comments? No, Bruce. Chuck, did you have any comments on what you're looking for from a registry perspective?
Well, actually, you and Jeff did a good job of covering my points, I think, but let me just reiterate a couple things. Certainly, I think that the biggest priority we have is to make sure that what we propose is implementable from the registrar's point of view, and I don't only mean from a technical, practical point of view, but something that they're willing to step up to, because we're not only dealing with policy issues, as I said in a post earlier today, but we're dealing with contractual issues where registrars are going to need to be willing to sign up to a changed agreement with both registry and ICANN. I certainly think that's very possible, but the registrars that are on this group are a key part of that. From a registry point of view, Bruce, you expressed one of my concerns very well. We certainly, as a registry, are willing to step up to the plate and take much more responsibility in terms of enforcement and including dispute resolution if registrars are supportive of that. But it's very important that the criteria be clearly defined so that we are not put into an awkward situation.
Okay, and again, Chuck, what would help us from a registry point of view is to identify the areas where you think the wording is loose or where you would find it difficult to
we'll be working on
to resolve the dispute.
We'll do.
Okay. Is there anyone else that hasn't spoken?
Bruce Nick Lennon again. Can I just ask the people who participate in the transfers task force To what extent has it been discussed whether the registries, specifically the EPP-based registries, could take over and manage the entire process of transfers, including the authorization from the registrant slash admin C?
This is Jeff Newman. I was on that task force. I don't think that particular subject of the registries taking over all the functions was never discussed. Principally because it's not really the role of the registry to deal directly with the registrants, and I don't think anyone ever contemplated a change in that legal relationship.
Yeah, this is Dave Safran. I agree with Jeff's assessment on it. It really wasn't discussed. It wasn't really where we were going. And also, in terms of the overall discussion here, I think it's pretty much on the money with what the transfer task force expected you would be doing.
Yes, I think to follow up, Dave and Jeff, to answer your question, the task force tended to focus on requirements more than applications or implementation. So you'll see within the 29 recommendations, we try and be as implementation neutral as possible, is the best way to describe it. So that specific issue was directly taken up.
Right. We were looking more towards what the goals to be achieved were,
right,
not the mechanisms, and in fact specifically tried to avoid getting into the mechanisms, leaving it to the registrars and registries who have to implement these procedures to work out what mechanically is most suitable for them.
Okay, yeah. I agree on that the implementation is indeed what this task force is for, and what I just wanted to, I guess I wanted to ask is whether that is totally out of the scope of this task force to at all address, because I think I personally think it would be one of the things which would be able to level the playing field, and as such be implementable.
So what's that, sorry, Nikolai? What's leveling the playing field?
The registries managing a larger function of transfers. I mean, it's what we see with a lot of CCTLDs, so it wouldn't be something which would be too different for many registrants.
Tim Maurice just joined the conference. Sorry, I'm late.
Well, I suspect in that case, I mean, certainly a registry is able to, you know, it provide their solutions in different ways. I mean, we do have competition between the registries, and they can provide solutions in different ways. But what we're talking about on this committee is what becomes binding policy for registries and registrars. And so at least the recommendations become binding, but there certainly there could be different implementations of those recommendations. Certainly, an individual registry may decide to provide a particular implementation, but I don't believe that we have the time or it's our role to actually go down in looking at an implementation for a particular registry. A registry could certainly suggest ways that they could deal with an implementation problem, but I don't believe we'll have the time to go through to that level.
Sure. And I think I got the message from Jeff Newman also. Yeah.
Okay, is there...
Bruce, let me add one more thing there from the ComNet registry perspective. And it's actually very important, I think, for this group, is that we're really looking at two different challenges here. One of them is a short-term solution for RRP, for ComNet, until we do the migration to EPP. That's an important thing for us to keep in mind as we're going forward. The implementation issues are not the same. And so, unfortunately, what we're going to have to do is kind of make sure we are clear on what we're talking about and deal with both situations.
Can you unpack that, Chuck? It doesn't seem to. I'm not quite sure what you're saying.
Well, sure. First of all, EPP has the auth info capability. RPP doesn't. RRP does not. That's a real key difference there. Nor does it make sense for us as a registry to go to the fairly significant expense of changing RRP since we're going to do away with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing I'm getting at. I think the auth info issue is one of the biggest issues. And this isn't necessarily an EPP versus RRP issue, but the fact that we are a thin registry in contrast to the thick registry is another issue that comes into play in terms of process, for example, with dispute resolution.
Okay, I get it.
Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Chuck, it's Grant Forsyth here. My question to you is, you talk about a transition when the ComNet registry will move to an EPP. What is the time frame for that?
Sure, Grant. I can't really give you a time frame right now because we're waiting for the EPP standard to be finalized. We're not going to do anything until the standard is finalized, so that once we do it, there won't be additional changes there. Not that there wouldn't be changes.
And when you say finalized, you basically mean that it reaches RFC state?
Exactly. That's correct, Bruce. That's correct, yeah. But Grant, let me try and help you out a little bit more than that, okay? We're expecting the latter half of this year to start the process. Now, the process is going to be pretty involved because of the number of names involved and the number of registrars involved as well. Now, interestingly enough, of course, Afilias for PIR will be doing a similar thing for .org this year, too, so we may be able to learn from one another. I hope that helps a little bit. And probably we did a survey of registrars end of last year regarding, you know, what their preferences were in terms of how long of a parallel operation they would want between the two, how much OT and E time they would want, some issues like that, and got some pretty good results on that, although there's certainly a lot of variation among registrars in terms of what their wishes are, and it is a big impact on registrars as well, some more so than others, but there are issues with regard to registrars' cooperation in that process as well.
Okay. If I just keep better understanding what you're suggesting there, at some point in time, which you may be able to give us an indication of, the ComNet registries will have moved to EPP.
That is correct.
And that's obviously, by the sound of things, a couple of years away.
No, I would say that if I had to guess right now, with some variables that I have no control over, I would guess that would happen. The transition itself would happen sometime, would be completed sometime before the end of 2004. So it's not really two years away. It's less than 2 years away, I guess, for the completion. Now, you need to understand that there could actually be some registrars, depending on the transition plan that is implemented, that would move over to EPP by the end of this year if things go as we think they might.
Okay.
But we're going to have to allow some period of time for we can't expect all registrars to transfer, to migrate immediately, so there's going to have to be some time probably where we offer both EPP and RRP.
Would I be correct in assuming that the VeriSign registrar is, by number of names, by number of registrations, is the largest registrar of ComNet?
They are the largest, yes.
Yeah.
But there are several that are right behind them now.
So if we just take that one, do you have any indication as to the capability, the impact, or dealing with the impact? impact of moving from EPP to, RRP to EPP
with regard to the Network Solutions Registrar?
Yeah.
They are, at least in the survey results, they were not looking for a long transition. They were in favor of a shorter rather than a longer transition period. So if that gives you any indication, that is a positive indication there.
Okay. And during the transition phase, can you help us to understand how transfers are going to be handled, given that you indicated that you wouldn't want to change anything in RRP, RIP, because it was just going to be transitioned away from?
During the transition, a registrar is going to have to use one or the other, and I'm predicting that that there will be some variation in the transfer policy for EPP just because of the auth info capability that allows the registry to get some information that can confirm that the registrant who is requesting it is in fact authorized to do so. That's not possible under the current implementation of RRP. Now, you need to understand that a real big issue in this is appropriate implementation of auth info codes within the EPP protocol, because there are a variety of implementations, as I understand it, with registrars now, and I'm sure that New Level and Afilias can talk a lot about that because they've implemented auth codes. And so there's a variety of issues there, and it's really important that it be implemented appropriately and that we agree on what appropriate is in order to make it as successful as possible.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's Andrew Sullivan from Afilias here. I can just emphasize what Chuck was just saying. We've heard a lot from various registrars who have been pushing us very hard in favor of EPP and a quick transition in .org from RRP to EPP. So I think, at least from the point of view of the straightforward operating of the registry, there does seem to be interest on the part of registrars to move quickly away from RRP.
If I can make a proposal at this point, Bruce, earlier this week I sent some documents to the mailing list regarding a terms of reference and the milestones. Not hearing any strong disagreement on this call or on the mailing list, I'd like to put forth that we actually adopt those formally and work to the statements in those two proposals.
And Ross, there were also some suggested additions to those. Are you suggesting with those additions, or?
Well, we should definitely talk about that. I want to hear first if there's any willingness on behalf of on Bruce's behalf to consider adopting them as written or as refined or in some form.
Are you there, Bruce? I think we've lost Australia.
I'm still here. Sorry. I was just on mute without realising it.
You're talking to yourself. That's great.
Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to myself. From my perspective, I haven't read the emails the last few hours because it's early in the morning here. Can you just summarise or just go through your terms of reference? I mean, I'm happy to adopt them if you just read them out so everyone can hear them.
The terms of reference are, one, to determine, is that better, sir? To analyze the feasibility of the 29 policy recommendations of the Task Force on Transfers. Two, 2, to formulate a report detailing the findings of the analysis, which will include all details concerning whether or not the policy recommendations are feasible, and 3, to present this report and all supporting documentation to the Ames Council for consideration and inclusion in the final report of the task force no later than January 30th. Now, there were some suggestions that came up on the mailing list, and we should certainly, if there's a willingness to proceed with considering this, we should probably consider modifying it based on those comments.
So are there any comments on what Ross is proposing there?
The only comment I have is one that Ross just made, that there were some emails going back and forth on dates.
Seems to me it'd be helpful if, because everybody hasn't had a chance to look at those, is if maybe the original suggestions by Ross could be reviewed by everybody, as well as the responses to it before we act. I'm not opposed to acting because I've read them all, but I think it's going to be awkward for a lot of people.
It's Grant Forsyth here again. I tend to agree with you, Chuck, but my only concern is just looking at the timeline. I don't know that that's going to be very accommodating. And my thinking is, I've taken the opportunity to read them, although it's not really affecting me per se. I wonder whether we could just go around the group and see whether there is any objection to working through and adopting it, and also the timeline, because I think if we can do it on this call, we'll be off to potentially a productive start. Otherwise, I think we're dead in the water before we get going.
Yeah, I agree. We need to have a clear set of timelines, and I would agree with that. I mean, I'm happy to adopt them just as it's something that's there and it's a starting point.
Well, if I can just feed back to you, Bruce, in looking at the email chain here, starting from Ross's proposed charter with detail and process and timeline, the only kind of suggested change, as opposed to some comments that I've noted here, is a suggestion that the timeline be changed such that the analysis phase be pushed out. There's that, and I think the other very good kind of comment from Jeff and Chuck and a couple others is really overall that the output needs to be always developed with a very firm eye on producing something which is going to get wide registrar support, hence inclusion, voluntary inclusion in their contracts. Leaving that aside, because that's, I think we all see that as a noble objective. We just come to Ross's charter. As I say, the only suggested change I see is from Alana, which is the question as to timeline. Have I got it right? Is that the only feedback on the list with regards a suggested change to Ross's proposal?
One of my suggestions was is that we not restrict ourselves so rigidly that we can't deal with suggested alternatives. In cases where we don't think something's implementable or sellable to enough of the registrar community, I think to the extent that we can, that we should propose alternatives that can be considered by the task force and or the NAMES Council in that regard.
Would it be, in that view, Chuck, would it be incumbent upon this group to come up with those alternatives, or should those alternatives present themselves when specific recommendations are found to be not feasible and there are alternatives that can be put forward?
I think it can work either way, Ross. I don't have strong feelings there. I just think because it's not only our time frame that we're dealing with, but the NAMES Council and ICANN, et cetera. So to the extent that some ideas could be added, cases where we think it's not implementable, I think that's healthy.
See, what I'm getting, I'll give you two sort of use cases that describe my question maybe to a little bit clearer. It's one thing for me to look at recommendation number 26, for example, in the
the context of my organization and say, I can implement this or I can't, and here's why. And if I can't do it, here's what I can do instead. It's a much different case for us to go through a process like that on a case on an organization by organization basis than it would be for us as a group to recognize that there's a majority or a consensus around certain things that can't be implemented and then come up with an alternative as a group.
So I understand.
What is the top-down versus bottoms-up approach? And I think we've got time for one and not the other.
Well, it depends. I think that if a group of registrars, for example, are able to come up with an alternative that works much better for all of them, that would work. Okay, I agree with you. We can't start a process all over, a bottoms up process, and do that. So I don't think we're far apart in what we're saying.
Yeah, and having a look at your timelines, Ross, they're basically consistent with, I think, what I was proposing. You've got some specific dates there, but your call for analysis closes on the 15th, which is, that's kind of the timing I'm saying. We have the next teleconference at the same time next week, so it would be Wednesday afternoon for people in the US. And it's really a matter that each member of this group's just got to contribute, because that's where the value comes from.
Precisely.
And I think most of us are already, these are not new issues. We're pretty much across them. So I think each member should be able to very quickly go through those recommendations. And from my point of view, 80% of them are no problem. And it's the 20% where we can raise some issues. And we just very quickly need to say, here are the issues. It might just be that a particular recommendation is just not feasible. I mean, let's say, more than half of the registrars on the call say that particular recommendation is not feasible. Then that's something that immediately needs to be transmitted to the Transfers Task Force. But it might also just be that we're looking for clarification on a particular issue, and I think that's what Jeff Newman and Chuck have said in regards to a registry managing the dispute process, but there's areas where they need more definition, and what they would be doing, I think, is asking the questions, and then at least the task force representatives might be able to clarify some of those questions fairly quickly, or we might just need to say, okay, these are some issues that need some further work. There's nothing stopping the dispute resolution process working. It's just that these are some of the implementation issues that will need to be looked at over the coming months. So I don't think we have to solve everything in this month. What we have to do is identify where the issues are.
One thing your comments raise for me, Bruce, is sort of a side issue almost, but it certainly pops out at me. The resolution that the Names Council adopted isn't clear as to who is the recipient of our work product.
Okay, it is the Names Council.
It is, okay. Okay, so we're not to be forwarding off finished work to the task force then?
That's not to say that we're not doing that. The task force is certainly should be kept informed and should be able to, we should be able to seek feedback from the task force where there's a point of clarification seeking.
But the chain Council is our customer, in other words, though.
That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Names Council will be forwarding the report, the final report, which would be the combination, to the board. I basically propose we roughly adopt Ross's timeline. I'm happy to pick up some of the comments from this call and just write up some minutes on the meeting and add anything to Ross's comments that he has. And I think perhaps we'll give 24 hours if anyone else wants to add or anything to the proposal Ross has. But other than that, that's what we'll be working on, and that we have the objective by next call, which is this time next week, to for each of us to write to the list a commentary on those 29 policy recommendations and raise any of those feasibility issues that we've discussed. So unless
my only question, just to make sure I understand, to the extent that there's a feasibility sort of study or input from a constituency, I'm thinking of the registrars, obviously, does that have to be done by the 15th?
This is the purpose of this committee is, when you say registrars, you mean I'm saying yes. By you individually, as Alana of Register.com, you need to get your comments in by the 15th.
No, I'm thinking more of the constituency sort of doing maybe a sort of soft survey of folks about feasibility of something.
Let me lay out the process as it's kind of, be really explicit about the steps that I kind of laid out here. The idea that I had with the within the milestones was that we as a task force would make the statement, the public statement, that if you're impacted by the policy recommendations of the task force, you have until the 15th of January to present what the impact will be on your organization, or you as a person, if you're an individual implementer, which is there's one or two out there, but not that this would be a survey of any sort, or a public comment period of any kind, or some of the other things that we've seen in the formal task force environment. So it's really just a chance for those of us that have visibility and are impacted by these recommendations to come forward with what those thoughts are.
And I would say certainly by this point, we're all familiar enough with the issues to have a week be plenty of time to be able to make those comments.
Yeah, this is not a process for going and getting formal constituency input. The purpose of this committee, the members of this committee have been selected or self-selected because of their expert knowledge. I mean, we're a group of experts, so we should, as individuals, identify the issues, and this is a report from us as a group of individuals on this committee. It's not a formal registrar constituency position.
Or registry, or business, or
anything else, that's right. However, there's nothing stopping us, and I'm happy to do that, send out a call to the registrar's list if anyone wants to put comments to the registrar's list, they can. And I will certainly read those and happy to bring those into this committee. But it's not a formal process. The formal process is within this committee only.
And it was with the hope, it was in that situation, or sort of in that context, Bruce, that the document that I forwarded earlier today to the list was written. In other words, if you're not part of this committee, but you still want to get on the record with how this is going to impact your organization, how do I make comments? Well, here's some criteria that you can use to give us, the committee, some input.
And who do they send those comments to, me or?
Well, I don't know. We didn't talk about that, did we?
I mean, I'm happy to do that. I don't want to get a big, great big process and create big mail archives.
Right.
Yeah.
I think just making the statement, you can give it to anybody that's on the committee is reasonable.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Any other issues? Okay. If there's no further issues, then let's call this call to a close. Just emphasise that I'm expecting individuals on this call to actually go through those recommendations and get their comments to the list, and we'll discuss those at the next call in accordance to the timeline that Ross has there.
Bruce, are we scheduled next call?
Yes, at the same time next week.
Okay, and so when you say yes, has the information been sent out, or is that going to follow?
No, I will do that.
Great.
Anything else? Okay, well, thank everyone for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Bye.
Bye.